The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Once again, this is your opportunity as a believer to get off on the right foot, so to speak, by getting yourself in fellowship, being sure you stay in fellowship, and focus your attention on this information. So that if you had a pop quiz, you could pass it with flying colors. Because you're going to get a pop quiz, and that is God's evaluation of the believer in time and phase three. This is a critical doctrine that has come late in our history, but is essential to us breaking free from the corruption that is in the cosmos, to expose the lies of men that have been formulated and disseminated to people constantly. And I can't find one that probably, well, I probably could, that would equal it, but top it in terms of the deception that is over the human race. So again, we are dependent on God the Holy Spirit to make things clear to us. We are expected as believers to stand firm in the faith and give an answer to anyone who inquires of us. Other anything less than that is cowardly before God. And if anyone says anything in any way, you can have an answer with regard to whatever the topic is. In this case, the nature of the earth and all that it contains and all that is involved. Again, this presentation of the nature of the earth is strictly biblically based, does not violate common sense or real science. So let's take the usual time to make the usual preparation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you continue to provide a place where we can assemble and be spiritually encouraged and have fellowship in the truth and real fellowship with one another. Thank you for this opportunity and bless the communication of the information to positive volition. In Jesus' name, amen. By way of review, as noted, touching on some of the topics at hand, God eternally pre-exists all physical creation, whether it be things visible or things invisible. God has always been and always will be here. He is from everlasting to everlasting. His decision to create is a decision he made. He didn't have to consult with anybody. There wasn't anybody to consult with. He created the heaven and the earth first. First. Nothing else. Everything else follows in the Genesis 1 account of creation. The earth underwent a dramatic judgment. We piece that together with other scripture as a result of the revolt of the angels that revolted, and the earth was locked down in darkness, without form and void, lifeless, no life forms. Yes, I have some questions about some of the details, but that's what we do. We add to it as we learn and pick up things in Scripture. But what I do know is that the earth immediately beneath the third heaven that God created was placed in this deep freeze. Verse 2. And as preliminary to the days of restoration, God the Holy Spirit is involved. He moves or hovers over the surface of the waters. There was nothing but water as a result of the judgment. And so he hovered over the face of the deep. Yes, it is implied that it was dark. There is no light. It is cold, sub-zero. The waters are frozen. And God the Holy Spirit exercises power over the water, generating heat. Then, as noted in our previous studies, we got the judgment that fell on the earth due to the angelic revolution, and the restored earth is in a process of 6 days, with the seventh day being the day of rest. Not that God needed rest, but to illustrate the principle that you work and you need a break, and that's normal. Not be a workaholic. That's an aside. So in the days of restoration, what did we get? Well, first of all, a temporary light source was provided on D plus one, day one. He named everything appropriately. It was in a circuit. It moved over the earth, establishing the day, night, evening, morning scenario that's universal among humans. Their days may be longer or shorter depending on their relationship to the sun as they live on the face of this earth. And some seasons, they have real, in some places, short days, etc. We experience a time change where we live. So the day and night, that's the first day. Establishing the light source. The next day, God put a dome or vault over the earth, a lid like it were. We dealt with some of the details with regard to this thing called firmament in the King James, mistranslated expanse in our versions. I don't like it. It doesn't tell me anything. Expanse. That we have this firmament. It's the case where the King James version is superior in a translation decision. But this is so our earth is under this vault or dome. We had other scriptures dealing with what the makeup of this was, but for our purposes now, this firmament separated a water sources above the firmament from the water sources beneath. We know nothing, just literally, about the water above the dome. How it is held there, etc., etc. But it's there. And so in the natural reading of Genesis 1, see, this is a cosmology. The ancient world, the different ones, people had wrote up stuff that they thought was right. This is the inspired one. And it tells us that there was, at this point, as a result of the construction of the dome on day two, that it separated waters above from waters below. Now the waters below, we've already seen the Spirit hovering over them. Now we're introduced to waters above the dome, a new detail. That comes into play later in Genesis in the flood account when the floodgates of heaven were opened and this water came down out of the sky, something no one had ever seen in any form. Was water out of the sky. what watered the plants and everything during the 1656 years from Adam to the flood was a mist went up from the earth. It was a completely different irrigation system. And then after the flood, God sets up a whole new climatic regime. So, the dome. And the dome is called heaven. Heaven. Okay? It is our second heaven. The first heaven incorporates everything from the surface of the earth to the dome. Whatever that distance is at the midpoint. It'd be higher at the midpoint because the dome comes down like this. And the dome sets on the earth, and we gave you details about the earth. What my impression is that if you had a perfectly square coffee table and you put a circle in it going from each of the four edges, you got the four corners out here, that is, and the dome sits down on that. Now, within that and under the dome on the surface is the waters and also a wall keeping the waters in place. And beyond the wall, you'd have to go beyond the wall, the ice wall, however far that is, I don't know, to the edge of the dome. And whatever all is out there in that mysterious area is off limits. Humans are not welcome to do exploration. We can explore anything else from the highest mountain, as far as we can get down into the deepest sea, there's a limit. Apparently somebody didn't make it recently in a submersible sub exploring the Titanic that sunk way back at the turn of the last century, around there. I think it was 1911. Don't quote me. But anyway, it's back there. The Titanic went down, and they were going to go explore it. And I remember seeing in the news, they've got so many hours of oxygen left. You can only put so much air in one of the submersibles. And it's like four or five individuals were in that particular mini sub, which made me think, how much oxygen would you have, if you could, to travel in outer space in these distances? There's none out there, if you take this other scenario. Really? Please. But hey, that doesn't slow down the evildoers. All right, after the creation of the so-called expanse, second morning, we get a busy day, or busier. Day three. So if you're in school, you'd have a quiz on this. And you can't open your Bible. What happened on day three? Day three, we get a continental lift up, pulling land mass up and water running off of it, establishing the singular continent and the singular ocean, or ocean. And he names those. So that's the first thing. And why I say it's a busy day is because then we get our vegetation on the third day. We get vegetation, and we get the continent, and we get vegetation. Now that brings us down to our Wednesday, the fourth day. Day four. Now again, on that landmass, these are the first living things in order is the plant kingdom. All the plants, created ex nihilo, out of nothing, and planted perfectly on this continent that just was raised up and the water ran off. One might think, can all this happen that fast? Well, apparently it did, or it wouldn't be recorded this way. That's a lot of water to come rolling off of there, but it did. And then God played the role of a gardener, bringing into existence all plant life that is so extensive, all of it into existence. You can't name a plant. They were all brought into existence. And that gives us day three. If I misspoke, I apologize. That's day three. Day four. Now, I cannot emphasize this enough. On day four, we get the creation of the vast realm of the stars, moon, and sun. So that means that light source that served the earth through the first three days is shut off. I can only imagine how much the people out here in the cosmos would mock this scenario. This scenario doesn't fit what we have been taught of the origin of things. You can't have it both ways. It's irrational. All right. So we get the sun, moon, and stars, the greater light, the lesser light. We establish the fact that the sun is a light designed by God. The physics of it is designed by God. And the moon is a light unto itself. The physics of it is designed by God. And we can always augment with some scientific evidence that the light of the moon and the light of the sun is not equal. It's not the same. It's a different source. It's a different type of light in terms of physics. It's a different type of lighting source. We have manufactured different types of light. The original light bulb to the, you know, all the rest of it. So it's a separate light. We noted in the Bible class that experiments have been done and that on a bright moonlit night where shadows are thrown by, that the light in the shade is a tad warmer than the light, direct light of the moonlight. That's just an objective observation. Begs for an explanation. In the case of the sun, it's the complete opposite. It's cooler in the shade than it is in the heat. No, we all know that. So it's a separate type light. If you get opportunities as a believer and you're out and about where you can get a, where you can really, well, even if you're living here in the city, you need to look up once in a while. Okay, ignore the chemtrails. That's no fun to see. The streaks through the sky. Geoengineering, not for good. But anyway, look at things and observe things. And think for yourself. All right, well, the rest of the week of restoration, after we get through the fourth day, we have days five and six, big stuff happening then, but it doesn't affect directly this, only that it tells you when the earth was populated with, in the next day, the fifth day, it was populated with the ocean. We can't neglect it. So we've got to fill it with all the variety of creatures that live in the ocean, and then over the ocean and over the land, we get birds, because they fly over the water, they fly over the land. And so we get that particular category of wildlife, the bird kingdom, with all of its variety. And it's so fascinating that people take it up as a hobby, bird watching. I don't do much of it, but I'll sit in my patio, look out, I'll see a bird come and entertain me for a little bit. So all the birds, all the aquatic life, all the birds we get in that fifth day. Because I have to mention what the order of events. So suddenly, boom, the ocean's filled with all this aquatic life, as if it had been producing it for a long time. Then, day six, we're working our way towards, I'll borrow something that's been used out there, habitat for humanity. Okay? Habitat for humanity. But first, and day six, it's big. And that is that on that day, day six, we get what we would call domestic animals like sheep and cattle, creeping things. Well, that would be, I would think, anything from a lizard, for instance, to insects of all kinds. We can't survive without insects. I mean, they're pests. They're things we wipe out. We don't want around. But insects, there are beneficial insects. Like my favorite illustration is pollinators. Eliminate the pollinators and we're doomed. We really are in a lot of ways. So taking stuff and from one plant to the next. And all the other things they do. Had any honey lately? The bees do that. Produce honey. It's phenomenal. The creation is phenomenal. And all it is. So on the sixth day, we get all of that. And then all these other animals, cattle after their kind. There's more than one version of cattle. There's more than one version of sheep. I've seen all the way from little miniature sheep up the ladder that would fall into that general category. All of them. All this was set up on day six. The sixth day. And then the finale. Homo sapien, man. Adam and Eve. Well, first Adam. Adam was created on the sixth day. Guess what? There's another verse I don't want to skip it. I don't know if it dawned on you or not. Adam's on the sixth day of the first week. And then, of course, on the seventh day. God didn't do anything because nothing needed to be added. So it's like, I'm going to go home. I'm done. I got the project done. On day six, he created a male, Homo sapien, not a female. There were no counterparts to Adam on the first day. None. You can read Genesis. So I'm not trying to be chauvinistic or anything, but on day six, there was one human. One human. The woman comes later. Even though it says God created man in his own image, we explain that as being the soul of man is in the image of God with volition and conscience, and the soul is immortal. You drop an atomic bomb on somebody, the soul is unaffected. So this situation, which I shouldn't have got into, this situation is that Adam was naming the animals, and that he had to and realized he didn't have a helpmate. I'll back off on that because I want to stick with my topic here. Now back to the situation at hand. We gave features of the earth. We told you that the sun is in constant motion over the earth. It's very clear. As I was telling you, I was looking up something on sundials just to see what they had to say. Ancient sundials, modern ones, blah, blah, blah. The sun, and in the article, there was this, in Wikipedia, there was an article that says, the apparent movement of the sun. It's not apparent at all. It's real. See, they got to hold on to their stupid cosmology. They can look up and say, it appears to be moving. No, it is moving. And your Bible checkmates that nonsense by saying that it is moving. And we cited scripture to that effect, where it returns to its makom, place, on its circuit. I didn't put the Hebrew transliteration in there on that one. On its circuit over the earth. If you've seen any pictures of people doing animated depiction of this, you see the sun moving and the circle changes because its path will expand out and come back in, establishing ultimately seasons. And in different countries and different places, you have this difference, this time difference, this elapse with regard to the sun moving. We noted that the earth is a light unto itself. A light unto itself. That means it doesn't need the sun to be the moon, to be lit up, as is taught everywhere. That all the moon's doing is reflecting the light of the sun, dark side of the moon, you know, all the other stuff. It's all fake. It's all fake. As fake as the moon landings in 69 and following. All fake. A hoax. It's hard for people because they love the world. They want to think things are good and people try and do the best they can. And why would they want to lie to us? Because it's the devil's world. And he motivates these God haters who have these positions. So the moon is a light unto itself. The stars also are plugged in. We saw two kinds of stars, stationary and stars that are moving. Now, on point Roman numeral 11, scriptures that now make sense with this cosmology. Things before that you had to play games with. In the vision here of Nebuchadnezzar, as he recounts his vision, as he was the head of, at that point in time, this great empire, this great kingdom, that in the vision, now these were the visions in my mind as I lay on my bed. I was looking. It's like, you know, it's like he's watching TV, or it's like he's got this thing on and he's seeing this portrayal. And this is what he sees, this unbeliever at the time, vision that was induced into his brain, and it was very real. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth. A tree in the midst of the earth. And its height was great. It wasn't an ordinary tree. It was a super tree. Its height was very great. The tree grew and became strong. That's his kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. It didn't happen overnight. But it did grow and become strong. The Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar, which he was the leader. And its height reached to the heaven, sky. And it was visible to the end of the whole earth. In the vision, no matter where, no matter where anyone was, they could see the tree. Now, this isn't an actual tree. This is a vision of a tree and a situation to illustrate the influence and the outreach of his kingdom. We'll have to get into phase three to say, was this really right? I mean, of course it is. But to say that your kingdom there in Iraq, modern Iraq, your kingdom had some extension or influence all over the place. It was known. It's a different world than we live in now, but it was a kingdom on the Euphrates River that Nebuchadnezzar founded. Of course, the vision deals with Nebuchadnezzar, the head, being struck down for his great pride, his great arrogance. Remember, his close confidant, the one he could trust, was Daniel, the believer, the head of the college there, and had a position within Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar ever got in trouble, he went running to Daniel, this exiled Jew, that he and his army had overthrown Daniel's country and brought Jews into Babylon, the first dispersion. And so what happened to him was this vision sees this tree being leveled, taken down, cut down, but the roots left, the trunks left, with the root system under it, of course, and the trunks left. And a band of copper or bronze is put around it. And that's the whole vision, and it shortly thereafter, it happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He was out for an evening stroll. He was walking on the walls of Babylon, which are renowned for their size. The walls they built, wide enough to easily run two chariots side by side around them. Very wide, big walls. This was built under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was out, and he went on this big pride event. And God sent an angel and struck him with a mental disorder. And, of course, he's incapacitated. And he is put out to pasture, literally. Because they thought anybody that suddenly loses their mind, he thinks he's a cow. He identifies with the cattle, and he's put out with the cattle. He acts like cattle, but he's still a human. His endocrine system went nuts, and he's growing like a werewolf. He's growing all of this hair on his body, you can have a description of it. And he was out there for probably 7 weeks with these cattle. He'd wake up in the morning with dew all over him, eating grass. But he kept enough of his mentality straight that he came to his senses. And he looked to the God of Daniel. And he was restored to his kingdom. And this is the vision of this tree. Now, how would this make sense? Again, I beg the question. I'm sorry. Not really. That you could see to the end of the earth. Matthew 4:8. Again, this is interesting. In the temptations of Jesus by Satan to break up the incarnation, Satan, who is the God of this world, offered to Jesus out there in the Judean wilderness. Well, he didn't make that offer there. He took the body of Jesus Christ and transported it. He picked it up and he put it here. Along the will of God. It says, again, the devil took him. He took Jesus. He airlifted him. What else can I say? Do you, that register with you? He airlifted him, his humanity, to a very high mountain. Now, there's mountains, and there's very high mountains. This is a very high mountain. I don't know if the mountain outside Nazareth qualifies as very high. I went to the top of it in a ski lift. They occasionally get snow and they can ski down that mountain, Mount Tabor, adjacent to the town of Nazareth, where Jesus spent most of his life, chronologically speaking, in that town. Working with his father in carpentry. So Satan takes him to a very high mountain. It could have been anywhere. It could have been the top mountain in the Himalayan range that people are so proud to go up to and climb up to, and there's dead people all over up and down the mountain because bad stuff happens. Unexpected stuff. And then there are those who just take me up there in a helicopter. I don't think I want to crawl up there. There's a bunch of bones on that mountain for ill-fated mountain climbers. The first man, I forgot his name, to ascend to the summit. Now that's the highest mountain on earth. So I don't know. It just says a very high mountain. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world that existed at that time. Now whether this was... Somebody said, well, you can only see so far. Okay, you can only see so far. I get it. Even on a clear day. Even with super, super vision. But still, it would make more sense if it's on a flat surface. All right. The Revelation 1:7, second Advent verse. Behold, He, Christ, is coming with clouds. And every eye will see Him. Not possible if you're on the other side of the earth, I don't think. Unless He goes whipping around the earth. Even those who pierced Him, the Jews. See, they're still being tagged with this, aren't they? Even though the ones at the second advent, they didn't have any hands-on piercing of Christ. The Romans pierced Him. This is a point I've made. The Romans wouldn't have done it, wouldn't have touched him if it wasn't for the Jews. Putting pressure on Caesar's representative, Pilate, Pontius Pilate. We're going to go talk to Caesar. And that's the pressure they put on him. And this man was more concerned with his position and maintaining it than justice. Because he told the Jews, this man has done, I have no grounds to do this to this person. He hasn't done anything that merits execution by crucifixion. This is Roman justice. We don't just kill people for the hell of it. He didn't do anything. Okay, I'll whip him, I'll turn him loose to you, and then you can, and let him go. The Jews are screaming. So they, see, here's the thing. You don't have to physically be the one who's the killer, if you will. you can hire somebody and you are as guilty as the killer. Murder for hire. Even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Most people at the second advent is not going to be a happy event for them. Oh, here comes Jesus. We're glad now. There are those that will be, but the majority aren't. Their day is over. It's ended. And all they can do is mourn the loss of their old world, their old ways, blah, blah, blah. They will mourn. Now, John 17:1, Jesus spoke these things. We don't want to make the Bible look ridiculous. And lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said. Now, you know, in the Bible, Daniel would pray towards Jerusalem. Several times a day, Daniel would go to his private suite and he would face west and he would pray. So that's a direction. So if with the dome and everything, if you pray with your head up like this, you're praying towards heaven. You don't have to be in the dead center, but you are praying towards heaven. Which is a little ridiculous if heaven is hundreds of millions of light years or millions of light years off somewhere and you're spinning. It's an exercise in futility. You don't even know where it's at because you're spinning. See, this is how that makes the Bible look ridiculous. But most people don't think about it. I understand that. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and their constellations, you know, the 12 constellations that God set up in the beginning in this arrangement to teach the gospel and the stars and the plan of God through the 12 signs of the so-called zodiac, hijacked by the dark side and pagan mythology. What sign were you born under? Doesn't have any impact on your life at all. But people still believe it. They like it. It's entertaining. But it isn't glorifying God. Will not shed their light. The sun will be dark when it rises. And the moon will not shed its light. Okay. Genesis 11:4-7. The Tower of Babel incident. Boy, that one just keeps coming down to us, doesn't it? They didn't drop it. They didn't drop the desire they had back then to overthrow the third heaven. That's been Satan's wish and the five wills of Satan to topple the throne room and take possession of the seat that was originally occupied by just God the Father. And so what we have today is the spirit of Babel, this revolt against God and his plan. We might call it the New World Order, the Illuminati, or all the other kind of things. That's got this country where it's at. These are not true patriots. They are bribed politicians, corrupt people, running the show. There are exceptions, but they are not having any real influence. And people get caught up in a politician, oh, he's the greatest thing, all the rest of it. You need to look close at some of these people. Who was the first politician to sing the praises of the treatment for COVID? Trump. Yeah. Was he just stupid and didn't know, didn't do any research? So they like to play with us. They like to jerk us around. They know what to say to conservatives. Well, I realize some are worse than others. This is a lesser of two evils principle. As far as I know, the last one I know that really you could trust, who made the right noises and was going the right direction, but was assassinated, you know who that is. Off subject. Let us build a tower. Wrote that in. Whose top will reach into heaven. I'm going to look that up. It's a typo on Jack's part. Let me read that here again. I left that out. Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the whole face of the earth. Okay, so this stupid project, it's stupid for one, it's a rebellion against God. Two, I don't think they could possibly calculate how high the dome is over the earth. You're going to build a tower that's thousands of miles high? I don't think so. Pathetic. But that's not the point. The point is, it's this rebellion against God. And they want to ascend to reach heaven. Well, what does he mean by that? Just a high tower? No. And see, God's plan for people after the flood was to spread out by their racial distinctions built into their genetic code and to spread out and establish nations. They didn't do that. Did the exact opposite. We do not want to be dispersed. We want to be one group here and pool everything, all of our intelligence and everything here in this one spot. So they wouldn't do that. They were in rebellion against God and his directive will to geographically move out and start up nations and different places, a gradual process. And so with this regard, the Lord accommodates the situation, said, behold, they are one people and they all have the same language. And this is what they begin to do, and nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, three members of the Godhead, and there confuse their language, so they will not understand one another's speech. You might read in literature that all, dealing with linguistics, that all language goes back to a common ancestor. All of them, as different as they appear on the surface, from Asian to African to whatever, they all go back to a basic ancestor language. And so all these people had a bad day. They got the original language erased and a new one plugged in. Like you put software on a computer. Like you take all this off and you put all new on it. And so learning another language is not easy. And to be able to articulate it and do it right, some people are more skilled at it than others. But another language. And so all these people around, they can't communicate. They have to find somebody they can communicate with. Well, they're immediate blood family. Okay, we all talk the same. Does anyone else talk like this? Blah, 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 blah. So it was confusion. And they gave up their project and they moved out of Iraq, except for the ones that stayed around. The Nimrod group. And the desire to have that's on our poster on the bulletin board. You can go look at it. The original EU poster, European Union poster. It's on the bulletin board. picture of it. Same desire, one world order. Come down, let us go down there and confuse their language, which he did. So this makes sense on our deal. And then Revelation 6:2. I looked when he broke the sixth seal. Book of Revelation is something that it says in there, you're in trouble if you distort this book. So I look at it and say, well, I'm not even going to touch it. But I have to. I have to. And then like any other area of Scripture where I need to make corrections or additions, I will try to do so as God enlightens me. I looked when he, Christ, broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. Shuts off the sun. The sun is just totally darkened. And the whole moon became like blood. Blood moon. We've heard of those. In connection with the sixth seal. Now, that doesn't last indefinitely. It's just in connection with that seal, judgment. Ecclesiastes 1:5. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets. And hastening to its place, it rises there again. No sense does this make whatsoever with the current cosmology. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him again. Isaiah 66:1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Let's take our break.